Hi, I'm Bev Owens and I'm a psychic medium from the UK.
Hey, and I'm Karen Stolze, psychic medium from the USA. And you've just connected with our podcast, Two Mediums, One Large Universe. Tonight's episode on this podcast will be about ghosts and hauntings. And we're all excited about this. Right? I feel like we could do a few episodes on this topic. I really just want to maybe get into that there's difference between the ghosts and spirits. So maybe you can decide what this is, because I'm going to go right into my story, if that's okay with you, Beth.
Yep, fire away. I'm all ears.
Okay, so just picture this. I'm going to a family event, so it's 2 hours away. I don't want to drive home after it. So my boyfriend and husband now, at the time, we both decided to stay there. And my uncle recommended this hotel that was just refurbished. So we go there, you know, at the end of the night, and there's two beds, okay? So there's two queen beds, one's by the bathroom, and the other one's by a window. And so we go in there, and it's like, smells really weird. I have this odor in my, I'm like, what is that smell? It just is supposed to be done, so what is that? Anyway, so we're sleeping, and we throw just all our clothes on the one bed, and we slept on the other bed. And during the night, I woke up, and I look at my bed, and I see the sock, and the sock is moving along the bed. And I'm like, okay, it's just my imagination. Let me just go to the bathroom. So I go to the restroom, and I come out, go to sleep, lay there, and I open my eyes. It's like maybe 6 a.m, and I see the sock get off the bed. It's being pulled, and then off the bed. And I said, that's it. I'm going. That's it. We need to go right now. Yeah. So we pack up our things, and I'm like, I had these beautiful pair of black lace pantyhose, and I put them, you know, I put them on the bed. We're looking, we're taking the covers off. We're looking in the bathroom. We're looking through the drawers. We can't find it. I said, let's just go on the balcony. You know, we weren't there, but let's just go and look. So we go out to look at the balcony, and, you know, nothing there, except this kid way in the distance with a stick, and we're like, what's he doing? I don't know. We turn around, go into the room. Like, this is a matter of minutes. Mm-hmm. And we go into the room, and there on the bed was the pantyhose laying straight down.
Wow.
Just like that, just straight down. And we just went, grabbed her clothes. We took off, and we just left. I'm thinking it was the playful poltergeist, not like the ones you see on television, on the movies, you know, because everything's always so, you know, gloom and doom, pretty much, you know, to scare you, fear factor.
Yeah.
So I feel like it was maybe a playful poltergeist. And
I think it sounds like definitely a playful spirit of some sort. We're probably having a great time.
Yeah, and then since then, I always, you know, we said, oh, let's go stay at haunted places. So then we started, you know, going to places on purpose and staying there. And then hardly anything happens, of course, when you're looking for
exactly that. I had a strange experience also when I was just shy of 16. And I was babysitting for my friend. She was older than me. She'd had a child. So I think she was maybe 1920, and her partner had left her, so she wanted to go out for the evening. Things were tough. She lived in a little two up, two down, and she had this little baby boy. He was around about 6 months old. Anyway, she went out, and she had warned me that there'd been some funny goings on in the house, but I just dismissed it. I was like, you know, poor girl's all over the place, because she's been used to staying with her husband, and now she's on her own. So off she went, and I sat watching TV. So to describe the room, it was open plan. So the staircase was to my left, behind me was the stereo door, and in front of me was the TV. And so I'm literally sat with my back to the front door, watching television and listening out for the baby. And out of nowhere, I felt something hit me in the back of the neck, literally just slapped into the back of my neck. And I whipped round, and it was a wet dishcloth from the kitchen, wet, had just whacked into my neck. And I'm not kidding. I shit my pants. I'm not kidding you. I literally was mortified. My first instinct was to run, but obviously I couldn't run. There was a baby upstairs. So I was like, oh my God, I'm going to have to go and check the baby, see if he's okay. And I went up to his bedroom, and he was fast asleep. He was absolutely fine. So I came downstairs, and I literally just sat facing the front door all evening until she came home. I just couldn't turn my back, or it's just, my senses were so heightened. But the fact that something so physical, I was just waiting for the next thing to happen, you know, and you're a kid, I was 16. Luckily, this was all that happened. And then my friend came home and I bolted. I told her that her house was odd and left. That is a classic poltergeist experience, I think, you know, being the noisy ghost, they say, don't they?
I remember the one time in Newport, Rhode Island. They have a lot of beautiful mansions there, and you know, with little tours of the mansions. And I'm not sure which one it was, but it was around 10 of us, and we go into this bedroom, beautiful big bedroom, and as soon as I get in the room, I started feeling so sick. I mean, I was so sick. It was like a dramatic scene from a movie. I was like, I can't go on. There's something wrong. I was so weak. I was sweating. I was nauseous. And I had to hold on to my husband. And as soon as we left the room, it was fine. I was fine. It was crazy. And I said, I feel like somebody died in this room. It was so sick. And I just was so overwhelmed that I was going to leave, you know, just leave the door. But as soon as I left the room, I was fine.
Wow. And did you ever research what had gone on there? Did you get any answers?
No, I'm really bad with the follow-up.
Well, you probably would now, but, you know, at the end of the day, times like that, if you feel like that, you just want to get away, don't you? I had a sort of similar experience when I was house hunting. After I'd split with my husband, I was looking for a place for me and the children to go to. And I found this, it was a rental that I found online, and it ticked every box. In fact, it was honestly too good to be true. It was rural, it was quite large, it was two cottages knocked into one, and it had like a sweeping staircase either side, all very grand. In my head, I'd got this illusion of, you know, moving there and having this palatial existence. So at this particular day, I went to meet the estate agent, and I took my daughter's boyfriend with me. He came with me, very level-headed young lad. And we met the agent. Everything was okay. Went into the house. And similar to you, I had this really weird feeling. As soon as I walked into the house, it was odd. We continued walking around the house. And it was funny because the young lad who'd taken with me, we were polar opposites, because he was really enthusiastic and how exciting this is, and really, really animated. And I was just very quiet. I felt watched and I felt strange. And it just felt like something was very off with the house. I couldn't figure it. I probably only viewed half of it, and I knew I wasn't going to have it at that point, but I continued looking through. I just couldn't fix what I was feeling. I just felt bad. Anyway, so we come out of the house, and we're in the garden chatting to the estate agent, and he asked if I was interested, and I had to say no, and I had to explain why. And I said, I feel so uncomfortable. I don't know what it is about this house. On paper, it's everything I want, but it felt really strange in there. The energy feels off. And I knew he was keeping something from me. You know, when somebody's like,
Mm-hmm.
So I asked him, I said, you know, is there something that you're not telling me? And it turned out that the previous person who lived there had, he was a businessman. He'd gone out to work in the morning and died in a car accident, never returned. And whether I was picking that up, I don't know. But I felt like there was something there. And I told the estate agent off. I said, you should be telling people this. And he just smirked. I don't think they will. This was one of those crazy situations where I just couldn't pinpoint it, but it felt wrong.
And like the ghost, that's mostly like a blast from the past. It's mostly like a flashback, a residual energy that's played over and over again. And that could happen in places or locations or, you know, houses. It doesn't matter.
If I'm honest, I'm not sure whether this was residual or an actual spirit. So to explain about residual energies are when you're seeing a moment in time where something maybe emotional's happened, highly volatile situations maybe, or there's a connection to a place or a building, and that spirit will literally show you a tape reel, a video, so to speak, of the event. And it will be the same thing over and over again on a loop. There'll be no engagement with anybody. And it's just very, very much the same thing. For instance, most of us have heard of like the grey lady in the graveyard and maybe get seen at the same time every night, just walking along. People will say that she's looked straight through me and not engaged. And that's what we'd classify as a ghost. It's non-intelligent. You're not having an interaction with it. You're just seeing a memory.
Yeah. Mm.
But for a spirit, then you're actually connecting with somebody in the spirit world and who you can engage with. So there's like a real-time interaction. When we do paranormal investigations, these are the things we look at, whether it could be residual energy. Because there are places, you know, the fabric of your building can absorb things. Anybody who's been to any of the concentration camps will testify that it's the atmosphere is so dense, and because there's been so many atrocities there, it leaves an imprint. And this is what residuals are, really. It's imprints upon a place.
They don't interact with you, whereas spirit would interact with you. Even like pets could interact with you, your deceased pets, you know. And that's another thing. If you think that that's them feeling, you know, touching your leg or your face, you know, that probably is them.
Yeah, I've had numerous encounters with pets, and I know you have. A funny one, though, my son did. It wasn't a pet, and he's going to kill me for saying this, but quite a few years
ago. Now you have to.
I know. Quite a few years ago, in my previous house, I used to hold a psychic development group. So people would come to the house. It was every week, and we'd do all manner of things to do with psychic developments and some quite physical stuff also, with table tipping and spirit boards, lots of different things all in within this circle. So there was a certain amount of energy built in the house anyway. But this particular evening, my son had come home. He'd lived in Australia and he came home to stay with me for a little while. And he'd gone up for a shower. I wasn't at home. He'd gone up for a shower. And when I came in, sorry. When I came in, he looked terrified. He was sat with the dog on the sofa looking petrified. So it turns out he went in the shower and the shower curtain started to move. Now, he wasn't moving. It was moving against him. So that rattled him somewhat. So he got out of the shower and then he got onto the landing just outside the bathroom, and he saw a badger. He literally walked along walk along the landing and disappear. And he absolutely packed himself, ran downstairs and sat waiting for me. Admitted that the house is in the middle of the countryside, so I don't know. But it's a strange one, isn't it?
Yeah. What did the dog do? Anything?
Oh, no. My dog, Ruby, she's a little King Charles, and she's the least intuitive dog I've ever met.
Oh.
No, she is. She's away with a fairy. She would just literally... She's so lazy. Just lay on the sofa and ignore anything unless they've got a biscuit. So she did.
Oh, okay.
She didn't do a lot. But you're right, animals are normally really intuitive, aren't they?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Except for her. Animals have a special sense, don't they? As do young people, toddlers, babies. You'll often hear or see them on their little nanny cam things, chatting away to somebody in their bedroom or smiling or giggling. And that's what we determine is their invisible friend. But the truth is, in my opinion, they're seeing the spirit world. They're seeing spirit, maybe family members coming to check in on them and have a look. And the same thing, you might see your dog or your cat, you know, cats particularly, sometimes the heckles will go up for no apparent reason. Or your dog will start looking at the corner of the room, you know. So our friends and family in spirit will try all manner of ways to get through to us.
And you could ask them for signs, you know, the usual signs, the feathers or the pennies or whatever, a song.
Yeah, no. Robins, yeah. Cardinals. Right. Going back to ghosts, we're, as human beings, we are fascinated, aren't we?
Yes, absolutely. And there's all different manners of ghosts as well, like the orbs.
Yeah.
The orbs.
Yeah.
The orbs. I love the orbs. I haven't seen, but I've captured them on video and not in pictures. So, and they're all different as well. Different sizes, different shapes. They are different colors. Some have designs in them. Some float real soft, some speed in and out, they go on you, whatever. I know that you have a really good video with the orbs.
I do, yeah. Again, that's from my my old house, the room where I used to practice mediumship there. This particular night, I think something had caught my eye, so I popped my camera on. And I started to see orbs, but it wasn't just one or two. It was tons of them. Now, you could possibly say it could be dust. That could have been said. But for that much dust, if you see the video, for me to have that much dust, you'd think you dirty cow. It was so many. And the thing is, what sort of clinched it for me was I was engaging with them, or you know, as you do, as little Looney Tunes, we go off in our own little world, don't they? Give me more signs. So I was literally asking for them to come closer. And with that, one of these orbs came right up to me and then changed directions. So there was an intelligence about it. I can't explain it. The way for me with orbs, my personal opinion, is their spirit lights. You know, when we die, our consciousness does not die, it just changes form. Our body dies, but we still have our consciousness. That's our soul, that's our essence. And I think maybe the orbs are a reflection of this. It's these spirit lights. So goodness knows what was going on that night. It was literally like a reunion of spirits in my room. So, yeah, I feel very blessed to have got it on film.
Mm.
I do know that there are people who say that it could be light anomalies or camera lens flare, and I appreciate that. That can happen. You know, you have to demystify everything. But for me, there was just so much. It was just, I felt it was quite compelling. And, yeah, it was lovely. I'd like to think it was a lovely display from the spirit world.
Yes, and you know, you have to post that on Facebook on our page because fantastic.
Yeah, I'll definitely do that. And the other thing with orbs as well, they tend to appear in photographs, and usually so you'll have to see like a family wedding or something, and there'll be an orb behind somebody, and the same orb will appear in a few different shots, so it can't be a light anomaly. And people automatically they'll think, oh, that must be granddad, and for me, yeah, that possibly could be granddad just turning up and getting picked up by the camera. It's quite subtle, isn't it?
I feel like some of the orbs are like from different, you know, dimensions and planets and cosmos. I just feel like it's a whole hierarchy thing, you know, with all the designs that I've had and colors that I've seen in my photographs. It has to be something, you know, something tangible.
Yeah, there's some beautiful books out there with orb photography where they've enlarged them and you've seen faces in them and clear images. So, it'd be interesting to see if any of our listeners have any captions of orbs or indeed any ghostly experiences that they'd like to share with us.
Yes, please do.
Yeah. So, Karen, I think we've pretty much covered everything we need to do tonight to talk about with things that go bump in the night. Like you, I've got a ton of ghost stories that I could quite happily share. But I would really like to engage with other people as well and find out what they think. And even if they can't explain it, let's see if we can. Let's demystify it for them. Most of all, let's get people talking.
Yeah. Yes, yes. There's nothing to fear.
Oh,
that was perfect timing.
Sorry, listeners. For anybody listening, I just literally choked myself as the door flew open and a dog came through.
But not in spirit.
No, a real dog. Naughty boy. My little heart's pounding. See, it's definitely the living that get you.
There's your evidence.
But yes. For the listeners, please do get in touch. Now, this episode is about ghosts and paranormal encounters. So we just want to particularly talk about, ghostly experiences.
Yeah. And if you have an idea for another topic for us, you know, feel free to let us know. We're on Spotify and we're on YouTube and we're on Facebook as well.
You may have guessed we're both a little bit bonkers. We obviously, healthy skepticism is absolutely fine. So I suppose what I'm getting at is there'll be no judgment from here. The more bonkers, the better as far as we're concerned. Because it's a very diverse world. If you can match Karen's pantyhose or my son's badger, oh, that sounds wrong on so many levels. You get in touch. But for now, you've been guests on
Two Medium,
One Large Universe.
See ya. Bye.